Well, last summer, my family was moving. And one of the things that we learned from moving is that we have way too much stuff. I knew it was going to be difficult, but I was surprised how many truckloads of stuff that we had. Now, we were preparing for this, and we had even been sending van loads ahead of us to Jenny's sister, but we still had like three different truckfuls from the U-Haul to come here. Well, as we were preparing, and one of the things that we did, we actually did get rid of some stuff. And for me, it feels really good to get rid of things. Now, some of you are like that. Maybe some of you have more pack rat tendencies and you want to keep everything. You got to get rid of some things, okay? But for me, it felt really good. And there was one time that it just was feeling too good. Jenny was gone, and I had an opportunity, and I got rid of a lot of the kids' old toys. Uh-oh. Well, it turned out, and this was, they had some old Disney toys, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse that they were past the ages of playing with, but I found out later that we had intended to pass it down to our grandkids that don't exist yet. So, in terms of choosing wisely, I chose poorly on getting rid of some of the toys that day, and I still hear about that from time to time, some of the bad decisions I made and things that I got rid of. But there are some things that we keep and some things that we get rid of. Now, some along that spectrum of pack rat to minimalist, you probably fall somewhere along that scale, and probably your spouse, if you're married, falls somewhere else on that scale. But today we're talking about what we keep and what we get rid of. Because think about the things that we keep. We have things called keepsakes, don't we? We keep souvenirs. We keep mementos from the past. There are things that we keep like pictures to remind us. Maybe we keep recipes, certificates, cards. There are all kinds of things that we keep. And no matter where we fall on that spectrum, that decision of what we keep and what we hold on to is a lot of times an emotional decision. Sometimes it's just really hard to let go. But these are emotional decisions. I love how Solomon says it in Ecclesiastes 3:6. He says, "There is a time to keep and a time to cast away." And a lot of our lives are determined by how we do with this principle, recognizing when it's the time to keep something and when it's a time to cast something away. Again, it's a very emotional decision a lot of times. It's very difficult. And there are always different perspectives on and opinions on what needs to be kept and what needs to be let go of. Again, no matter where we are, I think all of us want more wisdom on how we do this, what we keep and what we hold on to. And that's what we're doing today. As we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13, the verse for today is that love keeps no record of wrongs. Think about some of the things that we do keep. We keep records. Most of our houses, we have records of past bills, maybe for the last few years. Income taxes, I think we're supposed to keep 7 years of those. Here at the church, we keep records of attendance, like who comes to different services and classes. We have records on who gives financially. Roger and Barb do a great job of making sure that our records are up to date and that we're right on. You keep records oftentimes of whenever you're doing a checkbook ledger. It's a record of expenses and deposits. Records are a big part of life because we record some things. Somewhere out there on you, there's a medical record of your medical history. Things that you've been treated for, maybe shots that you've received, visits to the doctor, broken bones. There's a medical record. And somewhere out there, there's a criminal record on you too. Maybe it says something, maybe it's blank. But when someone does a background check on you, if you ever have one of those, what they're looking at is your records to see if there's anything questionable or suspicious about you. Records are a part of life. Students have records. We have records of what grades are and discipline history. And attendance is all recorded. Kids' immunization shots are recorded. We have different things that we get recorded all the time. Phone calls. There's a record of the phone calls that you've made. The utilities companies keep a record of the water that you use, don't they? And all kinds of things. The electricity, the gas. We have records all over the place. What kind of things do you record? Think about it. What kind of things? Let's go ahead and shout them out. What kind of things do you record or keep a record of? Music. Yeah. We even used to call those records. They're still even around. That's good. What's a record? Nathan is 17, and he knows what a record is. But yeah, good. Music. Scrapbooks are a record of past memories. Very good. Even when we talk about a record, a lot of times that means somebody who's done the best at something. You might have a world record in track, or you might have a Guinness Book of World Records for something silly. But we keep records of something that's remarkable in some way, something that we need to remember. So anything else? What are some things that you record or keep a record of? Bank accounts. We need to know how much money we have, where we've spent it, where we've received. Okay, good. Anything else? Blood pressure. That's good, yeah. You write that out and chart it every day to see how your blood pressure, blood sugar, or whatever it is, medical, or maybe even your weight. You might keep a record of that. That's one of the things I do. I keep a record of how I weigh in daily and what that is. So records. We record things that are important. We record things that we need to remember. Because, sometimes we even lose records, don't we? And that can be very stressful. How many of you have ever had like a VHS tape maybe that you had like a wedding or something really important recorded on it and then somebody recorded over it? Or a cassette tape and you've lost that record forever. Or on a computer, you have the records and then the computer crashes, someone deletes it, and everything is gone. When records are deleted, it can be very stressful. Working on a paper and then all of a sudden it's gone. There's no more record of it. In fact, that even factored into this sermon. I was wanting to consult an old sermon that I had written. I had a record of it, and it was on a little flash drive. I lost the flash drive, and I lost the record of all those sermons, and it's gone. So even losing records caused me a little stress during this sermon. But records, we record things that are important. We record things that we want to keep. We record things that are emotional. Right now, I want to talk a little bit about the three types of memory that we have. Number one is sensory. Sensory memory is very fleeting. Sensory memory is something like a 10-digit phone number. If somebody tells you their phone number, what are you going to do? Today, you're going to write it down, or you're going to plug it into your phone, and you're going to forget about it. I changed my phone number probably 6 weeks ago or so, and I think I know it now. But I've had to say it over and over because it just, phone number, you hear it, you forget about it. So sensory memory is a memory that comes, you hold on to it for very short term, and then it's gone, it's fleeting. The next memory, a little bit higher level, is short-term memory. Now short-term memory could be like what you had for lunch yesterday. You might remember what you had for lunch yesterday, or maybe what even clothes you wore last Sunday. You might remember that. It's going to stay with you for a short period of time, and then sometime it's going to leave you, never to return again. So it's longer. It's not just fleeting like a sensory memory, like a phone number that you just hear and have to write down. But short-term memory is just, you're just going to have it for maybe a few days, a few weeks, maybe a few months, and then it's gone. Because there's only so much storage we have in these hard drives we call brains. And constantly our minds are sifting through and trying to decide, what am I going to keep and what am I going to save? Is this worth remembering? Is it worth remembering what I had for lunch 3 days ago? The mind is probably going to say no. We need to use that storage for some other purpose. So what we save, what we keep, This is not just in terms of the possessions that we have, but our memories too. We actually manage the thoughts that we have and the memories that we keep. So back to 1 Corinthians 13, it says that love keeps no record of wrongs. Now all the things, the third kind of memory that we have is long-term memory. Very few memories make it to this point where they stay with us. And for something to make a long-term memory, it really has to be highly emotional. Now, I can tell you, I don't know what Jenny or my kids were wearing yesterday. I couldn't tell you what clothes I had on yesterday. Maybe if I thought about it, I could. But I can tell you what Jenny was wearing on June 3rd of 2000. Because that was an emotional day. That was our wedding day. So I could tell you her dress and a little bit what it looked like because of the emotion attached to that, because what she was wearing that particular day had an emotional response that has stayed with me. So only a few memories that we have ever make it to long term. Some things do, most do not. So when you think about your long-term memories that you have, just go over kind of a list of what might be in there. Long-term memories may include holidays with your families, different experiences that you've had, maybe a Thanksgiving or a Christmas, a New Year's, a Valentine's Day, something that you really remember. A long-term memory could be a trip that you've taken, maybe a time that you went out with your mom or dad or your kids or your grandkids or friends, and you remember some of the feelings of that trip. Maybe you remember the day that your dad left home, you still remember what that day was like. Maybe you remember being in a school play, and you remember a lot of details about that because of the emotions of it really stayed with you. Maybe you remember a teacher who just really believed in you and affirmed you, and you can remember something that she did or she said that has stayed with you and you still cherish. Maybe you remember a time when you were left out and it was painful. A time when nobody would pick you, a time when you were the only one at the lunch table, a time that really hurt and you felt isolated and excluded. Maybe you remember the day that she said yes, and it stayed with you, that excitement and emotion of her saying yes. Maybe you remember the time you were turned down. You asked, you built your courage up, and then you were just rejected, or you didn't get the job, or you got fired from the job, or you got the job. Maybe you remember a time when the weather was just exceptional, whether there was a bad storm, it was really hot. Maybe you remember a time when the world just looked perfect. You were by a warm fireplace and you just watched the snow cascading down and it was just perfect. There's a lot of things that stay in our long-term memory. Some of them are positive, some are painful. But the long-term memories that we have make up who we are. So we're going to be thinking about that, as again it says in 1 Corinthians 13, and talking about our memories and what we keep. Love keeps no record of wrongs. What is it that we record? What is it that we're keeping? This made me think of Richard Nixon and his infamous enemies list that he had that emerged during the Watergate crisis. Even though he had emerged to the top office of our land, being the President of the United States, Nixon kept a list of his enemies, and it was known. So that's something that maybe you keep, too, a list of your enemies. Maybe it's not written out, but maybe it's emotional. The people that you have really hurt you, people that maybe you would want to pay back. This is pretty common, and I would say it is a record of wrongs. It's a record of feeling like you've been wronged. That's one example. Reflected in a Garth Brooks song called Bury the Hatchet. It says, we bury the hatchet, but leave the handle sticking out. We're always digging up things we should forget about. And isn't that so? Don't you see that in relationships so often? You forget about it. You bury the hatchet, but then it comes up again. There's conflict, and there's a record of wrong that keeps coming up over and over again. So what do we do about these record of wrongs? Because again, what are long-term memories? What's something that we need for something to be a long-term memory? What is it that it needs? What do we need to have with it? Emotions, especially strong emotions, right? Now, when we've been wronged, is it highly emotional? Almost every time, yes. When we've wronged people, is it emotional? Yes. So it's very natural for our long-term memories to keep a record of wrongs, because wrong just comes with it, is highly emotional. So what do you think? What is it that Paul could be trying to say to us, that love keeps no record of wrongs? Because they're wrongs that are highly emotional that we can't forget. Well, going back to something that Jesus said, I think this is kind of what he's getting at. In Matthew 18:35, he talks about the importance of forgiving your brother or sister from the heart. Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. A lot of times when we're keeping that record of wrongs, we haven't really forgiven from the heart. And again, I don't think that we can literally forget some things, but we can forgive in a way where that record of wrongs, those maybe memories that we ruminate over and over, those memories that make us feel maybe like a victim, or those memories that make us feel maybe like angry, and make us feel a prisoner to anger, that we can exercise forgiveness and that it loosens its power in our memory. We can manage our memories. Another country song, How Do You Like Me Now? You know that one? The famous Toby Keith song, and the theme is human nature. He'd been wronged in high school or slighted, and then when he's big and successful, he's saying, how do you like me now? The girl who turned me down, your marriage stinks, and I'm famous and rich and powerful. And that was the number one song for 1 year, because it really resonates, that idea that when we've been wronged, we keep that record of wrong, and so we can tell those people who have wronged us, how do you like me now? I've proved you wrong. Proving the critics wrong can drive us. We can be motivated by payback. Maybe somebody who beat us, we want to beat them. Somebody who's hurt us, we want to show them. Somebody who's overlooked us, we want to put ourselves over them and say, how do you like me now? This is really common, too, in sports, that I want to silence the critics. I want to prove them all wrong, prove the doubters wrong. And I was reading a book by Drew Brees, the quarterback who went to Purdue and then really gained a lot of fame for his time with the New Orleans Saints. And one of his questions, he was a guy who's pretty small for his position. Even in high school, he was the fourth-string quarterback on his freshman team. He had a lot of doubters. And just being small, times when people didn't believe in him anymore, and somebody asked him, are you motivated to prove all your critics wrong? And he said, no, that doesn't matter to me. He said, I want to prove right the people who have believed in me. And I thought that was a powerful statement. Instead of being driven to prove people wrong, who we have that list of wrongs against, but to focus, to keep a record of those who believe in us, to keep a record of rights. I think that's more important than the record of wrongs. So again, what is it, the question, what is it that we record? What is it in our minds that we record? We may forget, we may not forget those wrongs, but we can loosen the power by what it is that we're thinking about. One of the things that we can do is we can let go of grudges. If we have a grudge against somebody, we can let that go. We can pray and ask God to help us forgive. And we can do everything that we can to let go of the grudge and forgive. We can stop ruminating. When the record of wrongs is playing over and over in our head and we're ruminating over that, we can stop it and manage our memories better. We can remember the good. In Scripture, remember is repeated about 250 times. And I think that that's because there's power in remembering. What we remember really makes up who we are. There's power in remembering. What is it that we're going to spend our time and energy remembering. That's why we have scrapbooks. That's why we keep pictures. We want to remember the good. We want to remember God's faithfulness. Because we have a tendency, maybe, to remember the things that we should let go of and to forget about the memories that we need to hold on to. How we manage our memories is crucial. We can steward our memories. We steward our lives. We steward our money. But we can steward our memories, too, and remember what is good. We can keep a record of right. Love keeps no record of wrongs, but I think it keeps a record of rights. Psalm 136, over and over it repeats, His love endures forever, because it's about remembering that God's love endures forever. So this week I want to encourage you, as you think about what you're thinking about, maybe about what you're keeping and what you're letting go, is to maybe keep a record of rights. Maybe instead of even a bucket list of things that you want to accomplish or do, have a love list of the ways that you can pour out into people. Let's keep a record of rights and look for ways to love. Love keeps no record of wrongs, but love does keep on going forever and ever. What if we kept less a record of wrongs and more of a record of rights? I think we might be less weighed down, less distracted by the fleeting, and more aware of the eternal, more aware of what really matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are good, You are eternal, and You are love. In this world we suffer, and You have made us in a way that it is natural for us to remember pain. It's natural for us to keep a record of wrongs, but those records tend to be a problem for us. They can make us bitter, they can make us fearful, and they can put us in a prison. This is difficult for us, but help us to be people who experience the freedom of forgiveness. Help us to let go of grievances and grudges and replace our record of wrongs with a record of right. Help us to remember Your faithfulness and that love never fails. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.